So celebrating God. I mean, look at the parties in the Old Testament. Man, he set aside months at a time, you know, just to party. He is a party. He loves to have fun. He loves us to have fun. And, you know, religion will tell you, be quiet, you're in church. Are you kidding me? And this is a place where, like I said last week, it's not a museum piece of perfect people. The church is a Holy Ghost hospital. It's a place of correction. It's a place of instruction. It's a place where we all receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. We need wisdom and we need light for such a time as this. That's our series. We're concluding our series today. And part five is the spirit of wisdom is always ready. The spirit of wisdom. Now, I'm not talking about the principles of wisdom. They need to be taught. I'm talking about the spirit of wisdom. That needs to be caught. Needs to be caught. You know, wisdom is contagious. You need to catch it. I mean, we give people running in fear and so forth from COVID-19 and had 16 masks on their face and did everything and killed themselves, getting, you know, whatever. Because it's contagious. Well, spiritual things are contagious too. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. The spirit of wisdom. You know, the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom, I'll tell you something. Here's how ready. The spirit of wisdom deals primarily with revelation. Wisdom will reveal to you what to do at a certain time when you don't know what to do, when this doesn't make sense. But wisdom shows you and reveals what you should do, where you should go, how you should respond, what to say. You know, wisdom told us to start a school. Wisdom told us to start a church. It wasn't in my plans. It wasn't on my radar whatsoever to start. I was going back in my business. I was going to make a lot of money, have fun. You know, but you know what? If you're doing what God says to do, that's wisdom. Jesus said so in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But here's wisdom. Wisdom sees the end from the beginning. Faith declares the end from the beginning. So they work together. Wisdom is so ready. Wisdom has the clutch down, has the gas pedal down, has it in first gear, and is ready to pop that clutch and go into gear. That's what wisdom is. It's ready to go. It's ready to go. But you need to prepare for it, because he's not going to motivate a novice to tell you to do things that you're not ready to do. There's a foundation to everything in Christianity. Everything is built on something. You know, in Luke 11:49, Jesus called the wisdom, the word of God, the wisdom of God. Excuse me. Pause that refreshes. Jesus called the word of God the wisdom of God. And as long as the word of God is spoken in this earth, the wisdom of God will prevail. Amen. Say that with me. As long as the word of God is preached in this world, the wisdom of God will prevail. To the extent that it's preached. To the extent you speak it to yourself. To the extent that you speak it to yourself, wisdom will prevail. When you speak the word of God, there's that inner ear that puts it down in your spirit. That's what confession does, because confession is made unto salvation. And when you do what God said to do, you'll be happy. Wisdom speaks righteousness. Wisdom speaks peace. In fact, Proverbs chapter 6, Dwight brought this up last week. Oh, so good. So good. He's in verse 20. It says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, to us under the New Testament, Proverbs is in the Old Testament. So in the New Testament, he's talking about obey the word of your father. And do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, that would stand for the Holy Spirit under the new covenant, wouldn't it? I heard a, Apparently you didn't hear that. The Holy Spirit is like a mom. That is the motherly attributes of God, is the Holy Spirit. Do not forsake the law. We're talking about spiritual law. We're not talking about theory or philosophy. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Verse 21 says, bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Now this speaks to us of meditating on the Word of God. Building the Word of God into your heart. Building it into your heart through looking at it, studying it, meditating on it, muttering, saying. Do you know one of the Hebrew definitions of meditate is to chew the cud of? You know, you may hear something or read something in the Bible, and like a cow, they have no use for that first draft of grass that goes in them. So they vomit it up. That's the cud. They chew it, and it goes down again to their fourth stomach. This is a process that goes on. So you may hear it once. It doesn't make sense. You hear it twice and say, wait a second. Then you hear it a third time. You say, well, let's look at this. Then you hear it a fourth time. All of a sudden, you can use it. All of a sudden, you can see its application in your life. That's chewing the cud. What are you doing? You're meditating on the word of, on the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God in that seed form is now being released in your spirit, and it's renewing your mind, and you're being transformed. You got that? Isn't that fun? This is fun when this stuff starts happening for you. For the commandment is a lamp. That's an Old Testament word. We'd say flashlight now, like a floodlight you carry around to, so you can see in the dark, you can see your, and a light, there's to say, and a, the law is a light. Thank God for light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life, it says. That's continual maintenance. You can't get to a place where you say, well, I don't need that anymore. Oh, I've heard that before. I've done that. No. This is a continual maintenance, because if you're growing from faith to faith and from glory to glory, you're growing from level to level. Like Joyce Meyer said, new level, new devil. And you need constant maintenance for you to keep sharp and to keep sensitive and to keep in the moment and present in the moment with God in that moment and be open, be more willing to hear than to speak. Says, what's that, Ecclesiastes 5, I think. It says, when you enter the house of God, keep your foot and be willing, more willing to hear than to utter the sacrifice of fools. You know, you have two of these and one of these. God is in heaven and you're on the earth. So be more willing to hear. That's wisdom. The point is that God's word is always speaking to us. It says this, when you roam, in verse 22, it says, when you roam, they will lead you. What's they? They are the commands. They are the words of the Lord. You'll hear them down here. All of a sudden, they'll come up in your memory. And they're with you when you roam. When you lead, they will lead you. The words of God will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when, I don't know if you've ever had trouble sleeping, just meditate on a few scriptures and night, Irene. And when you awake, they'll speak to you. Amen. When you wake, they'll start speaking to you. See, God will speak to you in your sleep. He'll have a whole plan for you. You'll wake up to it, and you'll start hearing from Him. You're not supposed to do this alone. You don't have to live up to a standard that keeps on getting higher. No matter how good you get, it's always higher. That's why Jesus settled it at the cross. Shed His blood for your sins forever. You believe in Him, you're good with God. You're good with Him. Amen. So the point is, God's always speaking. So let's do this. As we do our weekly confession this week, let's open our hearts to the wisdom of God. Let's put that up, Barbara. Thank you. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted.
This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing on
This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking. The word is God, and God wants that His word to become flesh in your life, to become, enter into your physical life, into your mental life, into your emotional life, and start correcting things and bringing you into line with Him. Anybody lead somebody to Jesus this week? Have you talked to anybody about Jesus this week? Yeah, it's important you do that. That's our job here in the earth, is to lead somebody to Jesus, and it's not hard. In fact, this goes right in tune with what we're talking about, because it says in Proverbs 11:30, is it? That he who wins souls is wise. So the wisdom of God seeks... Yeah? He that wins souls is wise. So the wisdom of God seeks to bring truth, to bring salvation to people who are lost. Amen? You say, well, I don't have wisdom. Well, there's no excuse for that. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not, or does not find fault. And it will be given him. How? Liberally, abundantly, more than you need. Ask him for wisdom. So if you're in a situation and somebody starts talking about their problems in life, boy, what a door to walk through there. So, you know, I had similar problems to that too. What do you mean you had? Well, Jesus helps me solve those things. Lead them to Jesus. Say, oh, you believe that Jesus stuff? Well, if you knew, you wouldn't call it stuff. You'd call it answers and solutions that you need. You'd call it love. And you have a big brother. You have somebody who cares about you. And just lead them to the Lord. Just tenderly lead people to the Lord. And you are fulfilling a ministry of an evangelist that God has called everyone to. So like the subtitle of our message here, wisdom is always, the spirit of wisdom is always ready. When you go out of your door in the morning, is your clutch down? Your gas pedal down to the floor? You ready to pop that clutch and put it in gear? Well, the question is, ready for what? Ready for what? Let's put that graphic up there, please. We're talking about wisdom and light for such a time as this. The spirit of wisdom is always ready. Ready for what? Ready for what? Well, specifically, ready for what? How about ready to do the word? To be a doer of the word. You know, Jesus called that wisdom. He said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat that house, but it did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. And if you have a New King James, it says upon the rock. You know who the rock is? He's there. He's a rock. Yeah. You know... Peter got a revelation. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father did. And he said, you are Peter. That means a small rock, Petra. But upon this Petros, the rock of revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. Have you got that revelation? See, wisdom will give you revelation. He will reveal the risen Christ to you, not some religious form in a robe swinging incense, you know, whatever it is. That has nothing to do with God or the kingdom of heaven. All those religious rites and rituals. And we have sacraments that he gave us, baptism and communion, the two sacraments he gave. And we observe those here. It's been a while since we baptized people, hadn't it? Most people, when they come here, have already been baptized, already been born again and baptized. And baptism belongs to you as a rite of the born-again believer. I was baptized as a baby. You know what my parents got? They got a wet baby. It really didn't take, because I became an atheist at 16. And my life kind of descended from there into a black hole. Really, I could not even talk to a person, look at me in the eye, and have a normal conversation. I was so introverted at that point in time. And things were darker and darker and darker. By the time I was 22, I was demon-possessed. By the time I was 20, I could get... You know, demons can counterfeit things. The demons can give a word of knowledge. Did you know that? They know stuff because they are here in this realm. In fact, some of those demons, Paul probably cast some of those demons out of somebody. So I was, and I thought I had this gift. No, I was being used of the devil. I was a lackey. When God gives you a word of knowledge, it's to free, right, not to put into bondage. You see, that's what Joseph's problem was. He was using his gifts to promote himself to his brothers, and it didn't work. They got rid of him. It put him into bondage. But when he figured it out, he says, huh, these gifts are for somebody else. You know, to free other people or to give them the truth. It promoted him, and he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. Humility, wisdom, humility. You know, we have Relationship University here. It's from Caris Bible College. And I'm telling you, it has rolled right off the presses of heaven. It is so good. Do you know, every quality of leadership, you can, it begins with relationship with the Lord. Without a relationship with the Lord, you cannot be a successful leader. You can lead, maybe be charismatic, maybe you'll have some, but you'll never be a real leader unless you have. You can be a dictator. You can be an emperor where nobody can challenge you or nobody can speak. No, but if you want to be a leader, it involves a relationship with the Lord. That's what Andrew Womack teaches too. And I agree with him on those things. But wisdom sees what people need. What do people need? If you go into a grocery store and look at the magazine rack, one thing I know that people are looking for is peace. Peace. They're looking for some peace. I can't afford, you know, I'm paying double now for gas than I was. Cost me $50 at the grocery store, now it's costing me $85. Where's this going? And then what's that doing? You're running with it. And you're starting, where is this going? What? No, you're setting your expectations on the world, and so you're depending on the world or the government to be your answer. And I'm telling you something. No man can be an answer for this world. It has to be somebody of God's choosing who's anointed of God to straighten this thing out. And you know who that is? He's the one at God's right hand right now. Jesus. And this whole thing will be straightened out eventually. But not until the Prince of Peace comes back. See, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. That means it's a spiritual force. And it has a devastating effect on demons, on the devil, and his cohorts. It also has a devastating effect on people with an attitude, because they don't know how to answer you when you are staying so confident and so peaceful and so full of joy. Peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of loss, in the midst of shortage. You're not going up and down with the waves and the narratives of this world and worried about everything. No, you're just staying consistent in peace because you know something. Peace is authoritative. It's confident in God. The presence of God, peace is the manifest presence of God. Do you know what strife is? It's the manifest presence of Slewfoot. Peace is the manifest presence of God. That's what people are looking for. It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, in nothing be terrified, which is an evident token by your enemy. Here. In nothing be terrified by your adversaries. In other words, don't do it. Don't be terrified by them. Doesn't matter what they say, what they do, or how they threaten you, how they come against mob rule. In nothing. No, not one thing. Be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. They'll see that peace that you have under such threats, alienation, persecution, affliction. They'll see peace. They won't know, how does he do that? But to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, if they're going to challenge you, they have to deal with God because peace is right here.
Amen.
It's the manifest presence of God.
Thank you, Lord.
How about it? Ooh, Jesus just walked in here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Peace is the silent killer of the enemy's plots. All by itself. God gave me that yesterday. Peace, 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 peace. You know, if you take that out to its fullest extent or its fullest measure of peace, you'll find yourself to be a peacemaker and you'll be in a position to reconcile people in conflict with each other. People, arguments. Look at the news. You have this one guy who has this total belief system in some kind of a liberal thing. Then you have another guy who has a totally different belief system and they're arguing as if they're going to change the other person's belief system. You're fighting fire with fire. You're fighting water with water. No, but peace ushers in the presence of God, and he is the God of all wisdom. And he has every answer, every solution. And he can just give a word through you that will settle everything. And it will establish righteousness. And that's how peace is settled. Not by winning an argument. Peace is won by establishing righteousness. Some of this is coming hot off the wire. So study the way Jesus handled things. I mean, if there was anybody who had persecution, if there's anybody who had conflict coming at them day and night, I mean, I think the Pharisees just had rocks under their robes. You know, and just waiting, just looking at them. And I could see them preaching going, and seeing those faces, and they're just ready. Throw a rock. They're just ready. You know, but they couldn't do it. Why? Because peace was exuding itself. Look at John chapter 10. We're going to see how Jesus handled violence that came his way with peace, with wisdom. This is the stuff that people are looking for. Wisdom. Apropos for today. Do you know the people are so looking for answers right now? So looking for solutions right now? So looking for ways to make ends meet? John chapter 10, verse 27. We'll start there. Jesus said, my sheep, are you his sheep?
Yes.
Then you hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, he had them right up until that. He had them. He had, yeah, God's almighty. Yeah, God's sovereign. God. And he said, I and my Father are one. Well, I'll tell you, the Red Sea split, that every demon and the devil came out of their holes. And every fire engine in Jerusalem pulled up to put the fire of the Holy Ghost right out. Because he said, I and my Father are one. Do you know when you say, you can go into just about any church, you can't go into this one and do it, but you can go into a lot of churches now and you can stand up and read scripture. And do you know they will call you a promoter of hate speech? They will call you non-inclusive. They will call you all kinds of names. They will ostracize you. By what? Beating the Word of God. And these are so-called Christians. And you're reading the Word of God to them. This is how far things have gone. This is how much the church has been the lobster in the pot for too long. Sinking into the waters of this world. And the tides and the ebbs and flows of the narratives of this world. And they say, yeah, well, maybe we should be some kind of inclusive. And they get to question, and then they get to compromise, and then they're running with it. It's exactly how it happens. And the devil knows it. He doesn't come out with everything right away and say, oh. No, he comes out a little bit at a time, just a suggestion here and a suggestion there. Just to get you to compromise, just a little bit. Ooh, now he's got you. Now he's got a little part. See, give him an inch, take a mile. You give him an inch, he takes 10 miles. So, where were we on this? Let's put it this way. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So you could stand up to probably 80, 90% of Christians right now, and they would ridicule you for saying, you know what? This is who I am in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I have the one who defeated the biggest enemy of mankind living on the inside of me. I have armies of angels. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I am one spirit with the Lord. 80 to 90% of the church would label you as a blasphemer. And all you're doing is quoting scripture, what the scripture says about you. By the way, that's truth. Truth is not what your circumstances say about you. Truth is what God has said about you, regardless of your circumstances. And when you start agreeing with his word that is settled forever in heaven, and you release it here in the earth, there's more power in that thing. Angels are released, and they come to your aid, start moving stuff. And then you'll say, yeah, I guess I am more than a conqueror. Woo! Through him who loves me. I don't know about you. I'm going to church today. And you're quoting the word of God. What is the word of God? Jesus said the word of God is the wisdom of God. You walk in the word, you're walking in wisdom. You speak the word, you're speaking wisdom. It says, then the Jews took up stones to stone him when he said, I and the Father are one. Now look at what wisdom comes out with here. He says this. Jesus answered them, many works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Was he defending himself? No. Was he justifying himself? No. He let his testimony speak for him. And he was looking him right in the eye. For which of those do you stone me? In other words, why are you railing against me? I've come to give you eternal life. He just said that a couple of verses before that. He says, if you come to me, you'll be in my Father's hand and nobody will be able to snatch you out of that, out of his hand. So he's letting his record come to his defense. He's letting his testimony come to his defense. He's letting his peace, his wisdom be his defense. And it's right out of the Word of God. All he did was quote the Word of God. Because then they said, the Jews, in verse 33, they answered him saying, for a good work we're not stoning you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. And Jesus said, is it not written in your law? I said you are gods, and if he called them gods unto whom the Word of God came. And the scripture cannot be broken. We'll go into that too. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that you may know that I am, and believe that I am in the Father and Father in me. Now, here's what I want you to know. Here's where the fuel starts filling your tank. Let's go back to that verse. Let's go back a few verses here, Barbara. Verse 30. Yeah. Isn't that written in your law? I said you are gods. And if he called them gods unto whom the word came. Do you know when the gospel came to you and you received Christ, the gospel came to you, do you know it changed you?
Amen. Yes. Praise God.
Unto whom the word of God came. They didn't mix it with faith. You did. And you were changed. You became a new creation in Christ. Amen. The word of God changed you. It totally reworked you. And your spirit man became the new wine sack that has the supernatural ability to house God. Whew. That's why you're just not a remake of the old. He didn't use the old. No, that guy's gone. You are a new creation in Christ. You have the ability to walk in God and God walk in you.
Praise God.
You have the ability for God to live and indwell you and to walk with him. You have the ability now to hear what he is saying and to make sense of it because you have the mind of Christ. Did you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, when you are walking in division and choosing favorites and everything, aren't you walking like mere men? You're not just a mere human being anymore. Let's have that up again, Barbara. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came in the scripture, cannot be broken. You can see people breaking the scripture every day, can't you?
Yes.
They're disobeying all the laws, all the things of God, the character and nature of God. They're blaspheming him right and left. Every third word that comes out of their mouth is a cuss word. How can he say the scripture cannot be broken? Because you can speak against it, and you can act against it, and you can do anything against it all you want. You'll never break it. It will break you if you continue on that way. It's like all these... Laura and I were listening to an interview with Tim Ballard. And he said, you know, Jesus gets mafioso sometimes. And he was using this as his testimony. And he said, because here's what he said. If you offend one of these children, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea and drowned.
Wow.
One. We've murdered 65 million of them. Let me say this as plainly as I can, because I'm quoting Jesus here. If you are a doctor that performs abortions, if you are the receptionist at abortion clinic, if you are a legislator that says this is women's health to cloak your murder of babies, innocent babies who trust in their mothers, and their mothers turn and betray. Listen, if you are any of these people that advocates abortion, I want you to know you don't have to worry about going before the throne of God. You won't even get that close. One of these little children offended, you'd be better off to have a millstone tied around your neck. I am not judging you. Jesus' words are judging you, and his words are truth.
Amen.
So if you're in that, get out of it, because you have a legal right to repent. It's in the word of God.
Amen.
And it is a legal right of every believer to repent and say, I blew it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And you know what? All those abortions and everything else be wiped off the slate. Because the blood of Jesus is stronger than anything.
Hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything. The blood goes through all the memory banks of heaven and starts deleting everything that you've repented of. And the devil may hold it against you, but God won't. Jesus won't. That's his blood crying out for you. And if there's anybody who believes in that blood, it's the Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If he called them gods, do you know what? Is Jesus God?
Yes.
That was pretty weak. Is Jesus God?
Yes.
It's God, right? When Saul of Tarsus walked into that wall of angels around Damascus, and Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting these Christians in here?" Did he say that?
No.
Who were they persecuting?
Me.
Him. Jesus, why are you persecuting me? Is Jesus God? Why is he calling these people me? Because you're one with Christ. You're one with him. You are one spirit with him. Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus changed everything. His resurrection tore the devil's thing apart totally. And it came and cleansed you and washed you and raised you up and gave you a life worth living. Something that is real. Something that you can know because you have the peace that you always wanted. And now you have the word, the wisdom of God that sees the future. And now you have the faith of God in you to declare a future and a hope. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wish I could get to my message today. It was good.
It was good.
Well, you know, God got it done. And he got in so we can get out of here early for the women to get over to Southern Bells. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you. Lord, your word is so precious. If you have never really, 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 really accepted Jesus, if you have not had that time in your life when you said, Lord, I'm sorry, but I didn't know this. I repent. I receive Jesus. If you want Jesus to come into your life, I'm going to give you that opportunity now. And you know what? He will. Because as much as you take him at his word, he'll take you at your word. And all it is a request. Everybody pray this out loud. Say this, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I receive the forgiveness of my sins through that blood. That blood speaks for me now. It speaks mercy. It speaks grace. It speaks forgiveness. And I receive my forgiveness. I break out of the old, and I enter into the door that leads to life. Thank you, Father. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. From this moment forward, I am a new creation. I will serve you, God. I thank you for the new life that's opening up for me. A world of discovery. A world of excitement in the Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. I leave the world behind. I come to you. Jesus said, "He who comes to me in no way will I cast him out or turn him away." He said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, labor under worry and fear and uncertainties and labor in heaven, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for your emotions, for your mind. His peace will solve your mind's problem in 1 minute. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Now say this. You are my Father forever. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. There's refreshments in the